Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the awesome opportunity that we have to gather freely together in this country to worship you and to come together as a family for fellowship. Father, I just pray right now that you would give to each and every one of us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We thank you that our eyes are open and we have spiritual understanding concerning your word. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to minister to us and through us. We thank you that you're busy working in us. I thank you, Lord, that you make my tongue as the pen of the ready writer, speaking, as it were, forth the oracles of God. In Jesus' name, amen. We started talking a couple weeks ago about church. And Jesus said that he was going to build his church on the revelation knowledge that he is Christ the Messiah. And it was in his conversation with Peter that he said that. We talked about the word church actually is the Greek word for ecclesia. Do you remember that, ecclesia?
No.
Okay. It means calling out. So the church actually means those that are called out. We've been called out, especially as a religious organization. So we're called out. We're called out of the world unto him, just as God called out Abraham out of Ur of Chaldee. And I had mentioned that even before Abraham, God had called Abraham's father out. And Abraham's father found a nice land in Ur, and he said, well, we're just going to settle here. And so they settled. Do you want to settle, or do you want to move on to what God calls you to? I don't want to settle. I want to move on. Abraham's father settled. So what happened? The call on Abraham's father transferred to him. And God called him out. He was called out. Hebrew means to be called out or to cross over. That's what it means. So we're like that. We're like the Hebrews. We've been called out and we've crossed over. Amen? We're called out. We're called out to be different. I keep saying I'm different. Now I have an excuse for it, because I'm the ecclesia. We're the church. We're an assembly drawn together. We're not just called out, but we're called to. Israel was not just called out of Egypt, but they were called to God. Do you know why that God called them out of Egypt? So that they could come worship him. Come on. They were called out to come worship him. The church is called out to come worship him. The church is called to come out to imitate him, to be like him. That's what he's called us to be. Amen. Jesus is the firstborn. Hebrews 12 says that we are the church of the firstborn. We're his church. We're a gift from our Heavenly Father to Jesus. You're a gift to Jesus. Amen. When somebody tells you you're not worthy, or you're not wonderful, or that you're not important, no. You're a gift from the Father to Jesus. We're a gift. You're a gift. You're important. Every single person in this building is important. Amen. So let's go on, because if I rehash much of my notes, we'll be done for the day. Amen. The nature of the church. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to open my Bible with all of you. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's read, starting in verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints. This is Paul, the apostle. He wrote most of the New Testament. He said, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles, that's anybody who's not born Jewish, the unsearchable riches of Christ, or the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. From the beginning of the ages has been hidden. Is that me? No, it wasn't me. Okay. Praise the Lord, it wasn't me. Okay. Verse 9. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Who did he make everything through? Jesus Christ. He made everything through Jesus. Verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by who? The church. To the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Come on. The fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God. Come on, the church is a mystery which has been hidden in God. You're part of an ancient mystery. You're part of an ancient plan that God had from the very foundation when he created all things through Christ Jesus. In the very beginning, when he said, "Let there be light," in the "let there be light," there's a church. There's a called out people. There's a people that are called out by me, to me. That's you. Deb, you're in the church. You're part of the mystery. We're part of the mystery. It was hidden in God. You're not an afterthought. Come on. I don't care what your mommy or daddy told you. You weren't planned. We weren't expecting you. No, God knew. You were planned from the very beginning. He knew that you were going to be in the church. He knew you. He knew you. He loved you. And he called you unto himself. He called you out of the world unto himself. That's who we are. We're a gift from our Heavenly Father to Jesus. We're a gift. Susan, you're a gift. God knew you. He knew you right from the very beginning. He knew everything that you'd go through. He knew what your life was going to be like. And he knew that you were called out and called unto. That you were part of his glorious church. That you were called to be, you were part of this mystery that he had planned from the very beginning. Come on. And what is the purpose of this church? Verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold. Do you know what manifold means? Not as a car part. But manifold. Many-folded. Many-sided. It's like that corrugated roofing, metal roofing. Kathy Semley calls it laminas. Laminas. That metal roofing. And it just constantly has a different side as you look at it. Or a diamond as you look at it. And all the different facets of it, as you look at it, it's always changing. But all those pieces are always there from the very beginning when that diamond is cut. That's the manifold wisdom of God, the many-sided wisdom of God. You are part of his many-sided wisdom. You're not a dum-dum. You're part of his wisdom. It doesn't matter what anybody told you. God said you're part of his many-sided wisdom. And to what intent? That his wisdom, the wisdom of God, might be made known by the church. So in order for it to be made known by the church, that means you have to be a partaker of it. You're a partaker of his wisdom. Amen? And to whom? The principalities and powers in the heavenlies. Come on. The angel said at the creation of man, "Who is man that you are mindful of him, that you should set him a little lower than Elohim, God himself?" Let that sink in. We're not just simple humans living a simple human existence. We're the church. The church of the firstborn. We're his body. He's the head. We're the body. What the head is doing, the body should be doing as well. Come on. This is a glorious thing. Not everybody who hears this gets excited. I get excited. Come on. I'm part of his wisdom. I'm a mystery hidden from the very foundations of time. When God said, "Let there be light," he was thinking of us. Yes. We're light in the darkness. We're called to be light. We're not called to be like the world. Right. If you're more like the world than you are like this, then you need more of this. We need more of this. We need more of the Word. We need more of this and less of TV. More of this and less of games. More of this and less of whatever it is that keeps taking up our time away from this. If our day doesn't start and open with this, and it doesn't end with this, then the world has seeped in too much. We need to have this. I don't need TV. Do you know how much TV I watch a day? Maybe an hour and a half or so in the evening just before bed. And then when I get into bed, I read my Bible. I get up and I drink my coffee and I read my Bible. And throughout the day, I'm listening. I'm listening to the Bible, or I'm praying. I'm spending time with God. But you know, that's not just my call. Well, you say, you're the pastor. No. I'm just part of the church. What I am, according to the Bible, is a gift. What do you do with a gift? You unwrap it, right? You take the paper off. You find out what's inside of it. You unwrap a gift by paying attention to it. When it comes to the church, the prophet, the apostle, the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher. Come on, I love all the ministry gifts of God. I follow them. I listen to them. Why? Because it helps me. I fellowship with other believers. Why? Because it helps me. We grow through fellowship. That's one of the ways we grow. You can't grow and be at home all the time. Growth doesn't come in a dark closet unless you're a mushroom. Are you a mushroom? No, we're not mushrooms. Come on. Jesus said, would you take a candle and hide it under a basket? No, you're going to stick it up so it causes light so people can see. God wants us to be light. We're a mystery. God chose you. You're special. You're special. God has a call on your life. Every one of us is a part of Him. Every one of us. Every one of us is a piece of Him on the earth. Everyone. It doesn't matter what mommy or daddy or grandma or uncle Joe or whoever said to you or your first grade teacher. Forget them. What does God say? He says, you're a mystery from the foundation of time created through Christ Jesus. Come on. All right. So the nature of the church. Number one, it is of God. And we're not going to have these up here. We're just going to have the scriptures. Because you know what happens with PowerPoint? I spend too much time on PowerPoint wondering about how PowerPoint's going to look up there on the projection. We can just put scriptures up there, right? 1 John 4:4. Ready, little children? 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is He that is in you than he is in the world. Come on, you're greater. 1 John 4:4. Verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Come on, do you confess that He came in the flesh? Yes. All right, you're of God. Little children, you're of God. He came in the flesh. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Come on, if the spirit of Antichrist was in the world then, come on. All right, he's here now. You got to be careful because he's trying to deceive. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who? Those that don't confess that he's of the world, that he came in the flesh. We've overcome the spirit of Antichrist. Come on, that's a huge one right there. Just right in that. If you confess that he came in the flesh, you have overcome the Antichrist. Come on, if you overcame him then, can you continually overcome that? Can you continually stand against it? I mean, it was just that simple, wasn't it? I believe he came in the flesh. Right, bud? He came in the flesh. Come on, then you've overcome the spirit of Antichrist. You've overcome already. You're on the overcoming side. We're overcomers in Christ. We don't have to submit and bow down to every evil thing and every evil report that comes along our way. No, we're overcomers. The church is overcomers. It doesn't matter what happens in your life. We have a choice to overcome. The scripture I use in Psalm 67, praise brings harvest. All right, let's look at that. We're told not to gossip. What do you think gossip brings? That's going to bring a harvest too. Whatever we put our hearts to, whatever we put our mouths to, that's going to bring a harvest. You gossip about me? Is it going to hurt me? No. I'm not hearing the gossip. Somebody said this about me. I don't want it. I don't care. Let people talk. What was it? It was Chuck might remember, I don't know, Bonnie Raitt. Let's give them something to talk about. No, let's go ahead. People are going to talk. People are going to talk. Let them talk. Who was it?
I don't know.
Was it Bonnie Raitt? Okay. Cindy says it's Bonnie Raitt. Okay. We'll go with that. But come on. If people are going to talk, let them talk. I mean, Jesus was here on the earth, and people talked about him. In fact, in John chapter 12, there was a whole bunch of religious people. He was talking, and they refused to believe what he said. Okay? Later on, and he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. Do you know what happened? Most of his disciples left. He turned to the 12 and he said, do you want to go too? Come on, they got offended. The 12 were like, well, no, Lord, who else are we going to go to that has the words of life? Kathy says, don't ever leave me. I said, well, who else am I going to go to that's going to love me like you love me? Right? Come on. Come on. People talked about Jesus when he was here. People still talk about Jesus. And they say bad things and good things. And some good, well-meaning people say some horrible things about him just because they're ignorant. You know, and I like ignorance. I'm ignorant about a few things. Ignorance is fine. Ignorance can be cured by understanding. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, you have overcome them. You've overcome the spirit of Antichrist just by your confession of faith, all right? And because greater is he that is in you. We talked about this. You know him. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. You know him. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Listen, he who's in you was right there at the very beginning. He was the one, the Word, that created all things. The Word. He is the Word. The Word was made manifest. The Word came and it dwelt among us and it lived among us. He's the Word, sharper than a double-edged sword. He's on the inside of you. You're greater than the world because of him who's inside of you. You can overcome anything because of him who's inside of you.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? I mean, if Jesus on the inside of you can't overcome something, we've got a big problem. Amen? Come on. Number two, the church is not of this world. Come on, I keep telling everybody I'm different. I'm different. I like being different. Come on. When I was in the world, I looked just like the world, smelled just like the world. The world approved of me. Come on. I don't want to be approved of by the world. I don't need the world's approval. Come on. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. I love John chapter 17. Have you read John chapter 17? Oh, so rich and full. So rich and full. Jesus praying not just for his disciples, but for you and me.
Right.
This I don't pray just for them, but them who will believe on the words that I've spoken to them. Okay? John chapter 17, starting in verse 15. I do not pray or ask, Father, that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Are you kept from the evil one? Come on, if Jesus prayed it for you, what do you have to do to receive what Jesus has given to you? Ask and you shall receive. They are not of this world, just as I am not of the world. Listen, Jesus was not of the world, and he's saying, of the church, his followers, you're not of the world. I like it. I'm a sci-fi guy. I'm otherworldly. Come on, I'm not of this world. This world should not have the biggest pull on your life. Jesus didn't have the biggest pull, was not on the from the world on him. When some people said they needed a sign, he said, that's all you want are signs. The only sign that's going to be given you is the sign of Noah. And Jonah. Yeah, I'm sorry, I misspoke, didn't I? Jonah, who was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, right? I was going there. I knew what I was doing. Thank you, Chuck. See, it's like I said, ignorance. Ignorance can be cured. Listen, and I don't think I'm so smart that I can't ever be corrected. Correction is good. Bible says if God doesn't correct us, that means we're not loved. Correction is good. No child likes correction. I don't mind correction. I like correction. Correction helps. All right. Sanctify them, verse 17, by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me. So Jesus is saying, as the Father sent him, I also am sending them. The same way that God the Father sent Jesus, how did he send Jesus? Jesus came, he was born of a woman, and then he spent 40 days in temptation, resisting the devil. Now listen, if Jesus was God, fully God, it's not much of a deal for him to resist temptation from the devil, is it? But he was fully man. He was empowered, it says he was empowered by the Holy Spirit when he went into the wilderness and was tempted for 40 days. So how do you need to battle temptation? With the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. When we have the Spirit, see, in the same way that God the Father sent Jesus, he sends us. He sends us with the Holy Spirit. I don't go into things by myself. I mean, sometimes it feels like I'm by myself, but then I have to remind myself, greater is he who's in me than he who is in the world. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the temptation. He provides a way out of every temptation, he says. Every temptation has a way out. What was Jesus' way out of temptation? We've talked about this. Scripture. He quoted Scripture every single time. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Listen, the way to overcome temptation is through this. See, if we don't ever open this, how do we know the proper way to overcome a temptation? It takes the Word. We have to know the Word. Listen, I understand it's nice to come to church and hear a fluffy message and go, oh, gee, that was just so nice. And 5 minutes later, you can't remember what it was like. But we need the Word. Christians need the Word. Believers need the Word. We're born again. We've got the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Whether you're baptized with the evidence of speaking in tongues or not, you've got the Spirit in you.
That's right.
The Spirit in you will lead you out of temptation. What does your spirit need? It needs the Word. We need the Word. That's why I'm giving you guys the reading through the New Testament plan. Every believer needs the Word every day, not just on Sundays. What if you only ate on Sundays? You ate one time a week until you got full, and that was it. Right? You know, it might be good. You know, some of us maybe should do that. But spiritually speaking, the Word is spiritual food. We've talked about this. I am a spirit. I live in a body. I have a soul. The Word of God is spirit. It is life. Spirit needs spirit. You know, I talk about having, I prefer to know people according to the Spirit. Because sometimes when I get to know people according to the flesh or according to the soul, there's some things I don't like. And then I have to overcome that. You know, because not everybody believes the same way I do about everything. I love fellowship, don't get me wrong. I love fellowship. And next Sunday we're having our spaghetti lunch. I love fellowship. Fellowship is good. We need fellowship. Getting to know each other. Loving each other. Come on, we had a ladies' tea yesterday, and the ladies got to hang out and fellowship and get to know each other. That's what family does, right? But the most important thing that we need every day is we need the Word. We need the Word. The Word is what is going to build us up. The Word is what helps us when we face temptation. See, how many of you ever read most of what I'm telling you today? Yeah? Come on. All right. Number three, the church is essentially supernatural. How about that? You're supernatural. You're supernatural. The church is supernatural. I like that. I like to just say it. I'm supernatural. We read in Ephesians chapter 3. We're with purpose. He created us intentionally with a plan. We're supernatural. Not everybody who's out there in the world has been born of God. Most people have not. The church is the embodiment of true Christianity. We are the embodiment of true Christianity. Let's look at, continuing in John chapter 17, verse 17. They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Verse 16, sanctify them by your truth. Sanctify them by your truth. What does sanctify mean? Can you tell me? Set apart, different, holy. You are holy. The Word of God separates you from everyone else. When the Word of God is in you, you're separate. You're different. You're set apart. You're holy. God calls you holy. You're not just some meager... I've heard, you know, stories about people talking about saying things, well, you know, I'm just a worm. No, you're not just a worm. Well, the Bible says... Well, no, the Bible wasn't saying that you're a worm now. Come on. We're a New Testament. See, we read all kinds of things. Well, you know about Job. Job suffered a lot. Yeah. You know what we're admonished in the New Testament about Job? Look to his end.
That's right.
Look how God redeemed him from the trouble that the devil brought on him. Come on. That's what we're admonished about with Job.
Yeah.
Don't spend all your time. And don't take the advice of his friends. Oh, good Lord. Don't do that. Or his wife. Come on. Well, it'd be better for you just to blame God and die. Oh, thank you, sweetheart. I think that's great advice. I'll go ahead and do that now. No, see, that's why I tell you. That's why I say the whole Bible is for you. That means you can read the whole Bible. Every word of God is good for us. All the Bible is to you. That means you can take something from every portion of Scripture and get something from it. I love the feasts. Oh, God gives the children of Israel the feasts, and I love the feasts. Oh, I love them. I love what they mean. I love how that we can look at them and interpret them in the light of our redemption through Jesus Christ, and we can see what God was planning from the very beginning. I love Passover. Oh, I mean, right down to every aspect. The Jewish people still, to this day, perform these dress rehearsals for what God was going to do and for what he has done. We can glean from that. But the New Testament is specifically to you. That's where you find out who you are. It's where you find out what God thinks about you. It's where you find out what Jesus did for you, what he continues to do for you. That's where you're going to find real life as a believer. That's where you're going to find out that you're an overcomer because of him on the inside of you. Amen? All right. Jesus was filled and led by the Spirit. He was just a man. How much more do we, just as people, need the Spirit the way that he had? He said, as you sent me, I'm sending them. That's pretty supernatural if you think about it. Think about that. I mean, Jesus went around and thousands of people would just follow him to hear him preach. He didn't have, you know, big banners. He didn't send out lots of advertising. What was his advertising? Miracles. Everywhere he went, miracles. I mean, feeding of 5,000, and that's just numbering men, not women and children, with 5 loaves and some little fish, right? Some bread and fish. That's pretty miraculous. I mean, there were so much leftovers. I mean, how are you going to eat all that before it spoils? Well, you're just going to hand it out to everybody. Leftovers. Feeding 5,000 plus women and children with a few little fish and a couple loaves of bread. That's miraculous. You know, his first miracle. Come on. I mean, just truly extravagant. No necessity for it. Not necessary. Of no necessity, thank you. Whoever said necessity. He turned water into wine. Most Christians today would go, wine. Well, that was his first miracle. He turned water into wine for a wedding festival. And the guy hosting the wedding is told, wow, you guys saved the best wine for last. Usually you have it up front. And then the stuff, after everybody's had some, they're a little tipsy, then you bring out the less quality, lower quality wine. So nobody notices. But he brought out the best. See, when Jesus does something, it's the best. When he created you, it was the best. When he put his spirit in you, it's the best. He gives you a higher quality of living. That's why everywhere the gospel goes, and we've got our missionaries here, everywhere the gospel goes, what happens? The quality of life increases. Why? Because everywhere the gospel goes, Jesus goes. And everywhere Jesus goes, increase goes. So why do I say about tithing and offering? You put Jesus in your tithing and offering, not just writing out a check and saying, well, how much is it this month, honey? But you put Jesus into it. Dip it in faith. Turn it in. Not to us. You're giving it to him, dropping the check in the basket. And what happens? Increase comes. Increase comes. When Kathy and I first moved to Tulsa, to go to Bible school, and her mother had told us neither of us had ever rented apartments before. Gasp, I was in my 30s, she was turning 30, and neither of us had ever rented an apartment before. And her mother said, well, make sure that you go and look at it before you sign for it. So we looked at it, we're like, oh, Lord. It was on the third floor, it smelled like cigarette smoke. Drawers were falling off. It was horrible. So we ended up, we got a motel room. We stayed in a motel room. We went to church our first Sunday there. And it was a big church, and they said, you know, if anybody has any prayer requests, you know, stand up and the people around you will lay hands on you and pray for you. And, you know, we didn't have anything. We didn't have any income. We gave into the offering. We were obedient, just like Ruth. Ruth is obedient. And she listens to Naomi. Well, we were obedient. We listened to the word. We gave into the tithes and offerings. Some ladies gathered around us and prayed for us. And they prayed this long, extravagant. No, they didn't. They just laid hands on us and said, jobs! 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 By the end of the week, we both had jobs. Increase. I mean, man, I'm telling you what. You don't have to get all wild and crazy and praying all these long, extravagant prayers. Oh, they just prayed jobs. And we had jobs that week. I mean, good jobs. I mean, we were well taken care of while we were there to go to Bible school. God took care of us. He's extravagant. He loves us. Come on. Amen? He loves you. This Christian life is a supernatural life. Jesus came born of a virgin, lived sinless, taught, healed, raised the dead, healed the sick, was raised and ascended into the heaven before many witnesses. And when he ascended and the day of Pentecost had fully come, he sent his spirit to inhabit his church, to inhabit his body. And that's the first church service. What was the first church service? It was the day of Pentecost. They gathered together and the Holy Spirit came. And that he sat on each one of them like tongues of fire. And each one of them began to speak in other tongues. And the people in the street thought they were drunk. That was the first church service. You been to a church service like that? I have. Come on. That's church. Church is intended to be a demonstration and an example of the life that Jesus has for us. We're supernatural. Listen, Paul spends a lot of time talking about gifts of the Spirit, talking about love. Jesus said, by your love one for another, they'll know that you're my disciples. Right. Does love gossip? No. Does love speak ill of other people?
No.
Does it discriminate?
No.
Is it harsh?
No.
No. Love is gentle, kind. It doesn't put itself first. Well, I'm so important, I did this and I did that. That's not love. That's vanity. That's pride. Love doesn't do that. The Holy Spirit on the inside of us, manifesting the life of Jesus through us, is not going to have that kind of demonstration. He's going to have a love demonstration. Compassion. Amen?